My brother Jonathan, when he was little, and people would ask him, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" He would always respond, "I want to be a tree." All the time, he would respond that. And so we'd ask him again and again, because it was funny. He's in his 30s now, and I think he stopped saying that. But today is his gospel, really. Because as with all parables, when Jesus speaks a parable, he's using it as a tool to dig deeper at what the meaning and the message is. And so we can look at the symbolism with every parable. And today, that fig tree is us. This is my brother's gospel, really. And so when we place ourselves as the tree, the fig tree that's not bearing fruit and honestly runs the risk of being cut out of that orchard, of being removed, of dying. When we put ourselves in that space, there's a real warning, honestly, in the gospel, a warning that echoes the warning in our second reading. Where does our security lie? Where is our surety? Where are we placing our bets, if you say it like that? Because how we know we are the tree in this parable is that we look at, well, who is the gardener? Who is the one who is interceding to the owner on behalf of the tree? Who is the one who is fertilizing and taking care of the soil, providing nutrients for this tree to bear fruit, to participate in the life for which it's been given? Bible scholars pretty much unanimously agree the gardener here is Jesus Christ. And this makes sense. We see Jesus actually in this role of gardener in other places as well. It's an image that is sometimes attached to him. One example being, if we look forward to the Easter season, we'll hear the gospel where Mary encounters him after the resurrection. And who does she mistake him as? The gardener. There in the garden by the tomb, she thinks that Jesus is the gardener. And so here in this parable, also, he's serving as the gardener, really the savior of the tree, which is an important lesson for us, I think, within the Lenten season, to recognize who do we receive salvation from? Jesus Christ. As we prepare for Easter, Lent really is about reminding us that we are dependent on a savior, and that we ourselves are not the savior. Because honestly, our temptation as human beings oftentimes is to slip into a self-reliance. I'm strong enough, I can do it, I'm good enough, I have enough power, I can save myself, I can save others. But salvation history shows that's a lie. Self-reliance is a lie because we, created in the image and likeness of our God, we are dependent on him as the source of all relationship. We needed a savior. And that is why our God becomes man and gives himself for our salvation. And we're participated into that reality. We're invited into that participation, a beautiful gift. But we first have to recognize and state who he is. Because every time we recognize more fully who our God is, it reflects more fully who we are as his daughters and his sons, chosen to participate in that salvific work within this world. I think that's why it's powerful that this gospel today, then, with this message of this dependence of this tree on the gardener, a tree has to receive. That tree cannot go out and gather the fertilizer itself. It cannot work the ground around it itself. If it's going to bear fruit and participate in life, it has to receive from the gardener. And so for us to recognize our dependence on our God is so important. To recognize that he is our savior and not us, it's so important. And in our first reading, in a very powerful way, we are reminded of who our God is. Our first reading is a moment in salvation history that is so momentous, where our God reveals his identity and gives humanity his name. His name for all eternity. This is a sacred moment. This is a sacred moment for Moses. It's a sacred moment for the people of God. It is a sacred moment for us. Because Moses has been invited into a participation in the work of salvation in that moment. God is asking Moses to go and to help set his people free. Salvation. And like all of us who are invited into participating in the work of our God, Moses creates kind of some excuses. He doesn't want to at first. He's afraid of how they will react. How are they going to listen to me, Lord? What am I supposed to say to them when I tell them what you wanted me to tell them? And right away he's thinking, this is how I'm going to get out of it. I'm going to present to God this problem. You've never given us your name, O Lord. Who am I supposed to say sent me? Because in Moses' mind, a name, someone's name, is a great, powerful moment in relationship. To know another's name brings with it an authority. And so Moses probably at this point is thinking, if you're not going to give me your name, I can't go do your work. I can't participate in what you're calling me to do. And God will never be outdone, though. And God reveals his name. I am. Probably not the answer Moses was expecting. And in fact, I like to kind of think that maybe I am, and then Moses was expecting a third word there. I am George. I am Paul. I am Samantha. I am goodness. I am beauty. I am all powerful. And yet that never comes. Just simply, I am. In that sacred moment, God revealing his name to humanity, he is revealing that he is being itself. His very existence, his very essence is being. Limitless being, limitless existence. That's who our God is, his identity. And we as corporal beings, this is hard for us to understand. Because our God, he isn't restricted to a form of like an angel or a human or even a universe. He is limitless existence. And we as creatures, we receive everything from him. Not on our own creation. But we created, we receive everything. And yet at times, we want to try to be God. His name, so powerful, so sacred. Actually, so sacred that the Jewish people, our Jewish brothers and sisters, they don't even speak the Hebrew name. From that moment that Moses shared his identity on, the people of God would not speak the word that was his name. And it's important for us to kind of think of the magnitude of that, honestly, because we think of our God oftentimes so flippantly that it makes it easier for us to be self-reliant, for ourselves to make us God. And yet that name, I am. That prohibition on speaking that name, it wasn't something that the Jewish people constructed themselves, making that rule because maybe in some way if you spoke his name, it was bad luck. No, that name, by its very nature, cannot be spoken by anyone else. I am. It can't be used in the second or third person. The moment that another speaks that name, they're claiming to be God. For example, we could say, I am is the greatest. And yet, what that statement would be saying is, I am the greatest, placing myself as God. So right away, the people of God understood that for a creature to speak the name of the Creator would be blasphemy, claiming ourselves to be God. It's interesting because I think we do this again and again and again by our actions, by how we live our lives, by how we are reliant on ourselves to do things. instead of allowing God to save us and redeem us. I am is so sacred. And so this is why, looking back at the Gospels, when Jesus Christ says, I am, why, it was probably the craziest words ever spoken by a human being. And that's why everyone reacted in the Gospels the way that they do when Jesus says, I am. Because in that moment, this human being is claiming to be God. And either Jesus Christ is God, and therefore we should worship him above all things, or he's not God, he's a blasphemous liar, and then we should join the crowds in crucifying him. But the reality is, it's one or the other. One thing Jesus Christ is not is just some holy humanitarian. We have to see him. Either he's the Lord or not. And Lent is a sacred time where we're invited to sit with that identity of our God. I am. That sacred name that he reveals to us. And to ask, as we're approaching the cross, as we're preparing for Holy Week, the moment of our salvation, are we participating or causing it? Are we living as with Jesus Christ as our Savior? Are we receiving from him and responding to the work he's doing in our lives or not? That's why within Lent, we have fasting. Those moments for us to recognize where we are putting other things as God and to fast from them, to step away from them. This moment of saying, no, Lord, you are my Savior. You are the God of my life, and I want to live that more fully. And the beautiful part of Lent is that it's not just about fasting. Prayer, that conversation where we are stating, Jesus Christ, you are my Savior. And then our almsgiving, that moment where we say yes and participate in the fruit that is being born in our life because of what we have been given and received. Brothers and sisters, we are trees. We are this fig tree in the gospel. Do we recognize the gardener? Do we recognize and live Jesus Christ as our Savior? May we identify the places of our lives right now where we're not letting fruit be born. And may we receive more fully the truth of our God, that he is goodness, that he is our Savior, that he is the source of everything, simply because he is.